This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's installment of Creative Impact. I'm David Fair. Alongside my co-host, Deb Pollock is also president and CEO of the Arts Alliance. And Deb, I'm excited today because we get to explore one of my favorite places in all of Washtenaw County.
Wow, I'm glad you're excited because I hope we're going to have a very lively conversation with our guest today. Susan Westhoff, the executive director, and David Klippner, the wildlife and school program director of Leslie Science and Nature Center.
Welcome, everybody.
Yes, Susan, say hello.
Hello, thanks for having us
here.
And
David.
Hello.
So we're all about, here at Creative Impact, the business of our arts and cultural organizations and the creative industries. And that includes everything in the museum world and art museums to nature centers. And that's what we're going to talk about today, the business of a live nature center.
And it's really interesting because I was looking through what the mission of the Leslie Science and Nature Center is. And the stated mission is to educate and inspire children and adults to discover, understand, and respect their natural environment. So, Susan, what all does that include as you work to carry out the stated mission?
You know, it includes more than people probably realize. We have formal programs that children, families, adults all participate in, both on-site at Leslie, but also across Southeast Michigan. Last year, we reached 11 counties, which is a much broader reach than I think people expect from us. We don't just go into schools. We go into religious facilities, senior centers, hospitals, community festivals and fairs. We really have a pretty broad impact. So whenever we're going out into the community, we're bringing some of our living animals, we're bringing our educators and our knowledge and helping people make connections to their natural world wherever they are.
I love that outreach, but for those who come to the Leslie Science and Nature Center, how expansive actually is the property and the facilities?
The property is 50 acres that we utilize regularly. We have about 25 that are where the buildings sit and another 25 called Black Pond Woods. Both are city parks. So the interesting thing in our history is we used to be part of the city of Ann Arbor. And just about 10 years ago, we split off as a separate nonprofit and now run all of the programs out of the same facilities.
So you have all those grounds. And David, you also have a living collection. And what's in that living collection?
So we call it a living collection. I don't necessarily like those terms, but it's an
industry
term.
Well, that's kind of the industry term.
Exactly, right. I mean, I don't like to think of it as collecting the animals, but we do take care of live animals. So I consider them co-educators. They're definitely co-workers for us. When we're spreading our mission, we utilize these live animals that unfortunately are in captivity for various reasons to help like engage our audience and get them kind of hooked into our mission. It's very easy to get someone to pay attention to you when you're holding an owl, for example, as opposed to, you know, a screaming room of excited kindergartners and you're just a human sitting up in the front. They see humans a lot.
Yeah,
but they don't see owls very often, so it's really easy to get their attention.
And what else do they get to see?
So when they come to our site any day of the week or any day of the year, actually, they can see our birds of prey. So we have our raptors outside in outdoor enclosures all year. And that's free, just to walk the grounds and go into the forest and also see those birds. And then inside a building that we call the Critter House, if they come on Sundays from 10 to 1, they can see a lot of other native fauna, like turtles and frogs and toads. So they can experience some animals that they might actually see out in the wild or in their backyards.
Why, in your estimation, David, is it so important to connect children, particularly those who don't get out into nature all that often, with these animals? What does that hold forth for the future?
Right. I think that when we think about a sustainable impact, we want someone to remember an experience. So what we do is we actually provide those experiences. And one way that we provide those experiences is by attaching it to a story. I like to say that we're actually storytellers. We tell the story of nature. So how we do that is by creating something that their brain is going to attach information to. It's not enough to just simply say, hey, you know, I want to talk to you about these different facts and survival techniques of this owl, for example. But if I give them an experience that they can attach that information to, they're more likely to remember it. I run into all kinds of individuals that talk about an experience they had when they were in fourth grade and they got to meet a snake in their classroom, and they remember that, and they'll remember some information, actually, which is kind of the key, right? We want them to remember this content and actually have develop a respect.
So, Susan, tell me a story. Tell me the most impressive reaction that you've seen from either a child or an adult when first getting up close to a raptor of some sort.
We have so many stories. We were talking about it on the way over. We had a situation where we brought a bunch of animals actually to the VA hospital. This is several years ago. I'm sure David remembers. And I spent almost an hour talking with this one gentleman who had been overseas in war, and he met one of our snakes. And he started talking about his childhood growing up on the farm and having snakes that he would find. And it was such a connection point to him of his youth, of his family. He was talking about where he lived, and all because we happened to have a snake with us that day. We see people who come on site and they'll meet a raptor and they'll say, I've never seen a bald eagle in person. I've never been this close. And the awe and the respect that they feel and that they experience in that moment, I know that we don't get to see them years later, but you can tell it's going to carry through. There's going to be something in that moment that allows them to have a respect for wildlife that maybe hadn't been there before.
I love that in an era of great disconnect, there is that connection and engagement, and you can actually see it on people's faces. You are listening to 89.1 WEMU's Creative Impact with Deb Pollock of the Arts Alliance. On this week's edition, our host is Susan Westhoff. She is Executive Director of the Leslie Science and Nature Center, and we're also joined by David Klippner, who serves as Wildlife and School Programs Director at the center. And I know that before we get too far along in the conversation, Deb has a strong desire to talk to you about poop.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I come from the art museum world, and there is what we call care and feeding of the art collections. We have to do various things to do that conservation.
You're feeding?
No, well, it's just, you know, we care and feed for our volunteers, the care and feeding term, you see. But you have to do that, obviously, in a very important way for your animals. Tell us a little bit about that. I mean, you have to buy a lot of food. The business of taking care of your animals.
It's very involved. I think that it would be remiss if I didn't mention that actually without a lot of volunteer support, there's no way that I could care for these animals. It takes a tremendous amount of time and energy. I think we estimate around 5,000 hours of volunteers each year just to take care of our animals. And
absolutely,
this includes everything from, again, animals eat every day. And that means they make a mess every day, as you alluded to.
The poop I was talking about, yes.
The poop. I wanted to come here and say poop
on the
radio.
I've volunteered for a lot in my life, but I've never volunteered for that. But you have a strong pool of volunteers who love to do that.
We do, and you know, they love to do it. I'm speaking for them.
They love to help anyway.
They love to help.
They love the animals.
You know, and even the food, if you think about how much food it takes, not just the actual act of giving them their food, but you know, we use, just for the birds alone that we have outside, the raptors, we use about 1,100 pounds of meat each year. I mean, that's roughly 6,000 hamburgers or whatever,
wow,
if you can imagine. You know,
sounds like the buffet table at my family reunion.
Well, I wasn't going to say that, but probably. So like the amount of food that we exhaust, you know, even for the bats that we're caring for currently, you know, we're using somewhere around 8 to 10 pounds of fruit every day just to feed these 15 fruit bats. So, yes, a lot of volunteerism and then also a lot of support from the community and donations and time and resources.
So here's a question. Where do you resource that? Does that come locally? Is that another farm-to-table sort of situation?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, actually, because I am currently beginning to go out into the community and ask for some support, especially in the fruit world. We just acquired these bats and took them in, so I'm going to be going to all of our local grocery stores and partners to see if we can get some donations for fruit each week for these animals. But yeah, I think that it can come in the form of actual donations of resources or also in just donations that people make financially that help contribute to exhausting our budget for
another
those
resources. Another interconnection between the arts and the creative industries with every other part of our community. I love it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, as our time is about to end together, I do want to pose this question. You have all these outreach programs. You have these amazing programs in-house. What is the one thing you want every individual who comes in contact with the Leslie Science and Nature Center to walk away with?
That time outside is vital to a good life. I think everybody needs to understand and appreciate and take time to be outdoors. You hear about it a lot with nature deficit disorder. You hear about it a lot with different research articles now about the connections between health and being outside, not just exercising, but literally just taking a walk outside. It slows your blood pressure. It slows your heart rate. It is good for us as people to do that. And whether you do it at Leslie or you do it in one of the 150-some city parks in Ann Arbor or around Washtenaw County, wherever you are, I think that is the essence of what we are trying to achieve in our mission.
And Dave, same answer?
Yeah, I think that I would just add to that and say that we don't have access to that natural world and those experiences if we don't protect that nature. So making sure that they're taking steps to help with the conservation effort to preserve those different places for us to actually have those experiences.
Well, thank you both so much for coming in today and sharing your story. We appreciate it.
Yeah, it's another reminder that all of these wonderful assets that we have in our community are important to us for so many reasons. So thank you very much for sharing your time with us, and go back and take care of those wonderful animals.
Thanks for having us.
That is Susan Westhoff, Executive Director of the Leslie Science and Nature Center, and David Klippner. He serves as Wildlife and Schools Program Director at the center. Deb Pollack is my co-host and President and CEO of the Arts Alliance. She joins us each Tuesday, and we'll do it all again next week.
Yes, we'll be here with another exciting group of guests.
Creative Impact is a presentation of the News Department and heard each Tuesday on your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.